This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, happy home opener day, Pittsburgh, and happy day in Pittsburgh sports as the Pirates host the Baltimore Orioles. Buccos are 6-1 coming home. Swept the Marlins in four games. 1-2 out of 3 against the Washington Nationals, including win yesterday. Buccos offense just continues to pummel opposing teams. 7-1, the final score. 7-4, the final score for the Pirates yesterday. It was 4-1 for the Penguins. And, you know, maybe our Fan Early Morning Show music for today is not as appropriate as this. That's right, BGs. The Pittsburgh Penguins are still alive and showing as much life as ever they have in the past couple of months. I mean, could anybody have expected this? Maybe a couple of you out there are saying that, yeah, I mean, it's possible that this was going to happen for the Penguins. Maybe the light was going to turn on. The switch was going to be flipped. But I am severely stunned that they are even in a conversation right now with six games left to make the playoffs. I was at the game when the Penguins got absolutely pummeled against Washington on Thursday, March 7th against the Capitals, 6-0 at PPG Paints Arena, and it felt like everything was dead. The playoff chances, the energy on the team, and just moments before puck drop, the Penguins traded Jake Gensler, Carolina. And the wins were completely taken out of their sails. They lost to Boston 5-1. They came home and lost to Edmonton 4-0. Then they took a point at Ottawa. And it didn't seem like it was even close to enough to potentially turn this thing around. A win against the Sharks. Lost to the Rangers at home. A win against Detroit. And then back-to-back losses to the Devils and Stars made you think, okay, this thing is over. Completely over. Not a chance in the world. Well, since that game against the Stars on March 22nd, the Penguins have picked up a point in every single game. Overtime loss at Colorado that should have been a win. I mean, the Penguins really just gave that game away. It was 2-0 after the end of the first. 4-2 Pens at the end of the second. 2 goals from Colorado in the third, and then the overtime winner. 4-1 win at home against Carolina. Welcome back, Jake Gensel. Here's an L. And then the back-to-back against Columbus. You take 3 out of 4 points. Would have been good to take 4 out of 5, to be able to take all 4. Shootout loss in Columbus. And the game that the Penguins led, 2-1 at the end of the second. And then the surprising win against the Rangers. A stunning 5-goal comeback in the third period against New Jersey, where the Penguins look dead to rights, 3-1, only minutes left, and it was Crosby on the power play, 6:48, Malkin, 7:55, Raquel, 16:16, Malkin scored his second at 16:38, 2 goals in 20-some seconds, 22 exactly. And then Crosby the empty netter to win it, his 39th of the season. I'm stunned. I'll admit that I was wrong at this point. And it's not a definite that they're going to make the playoffs. I still think that they could be held out. But last night against Washington, it looked like vintage hockey. Sidney Crosby played great. Was flying around on his skates. Did get shaken up a little bit in the third period. But was okay. Ended up taking a penalty. And Sid the Kid is back to playing like Sid the Kid of, oh, vintage 08-09 hockey. And some of the great battles between the Penguins and Capitals in 2016, 2017, 2018, where in three straight series, when the Pens and Cavs played, the winner went on to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying that Sidney Crosby's played bad. He's been the Penguins' best player by a mile. But he's the catalyst, the ultimate catalyst. He's the one that's made this thing work. And everything has changed, really, since Evgeny Malkin's parents came back to Pittsburgh, watched him play. I mean, Malkin looks so fresh. He looks like he's got an extra kick in his step. He looks like a 28-year-old Evgeny Malkin, not a 37-year-old Evgeny Malkin. And one of the greatest indications of this for me yesterday, the Penguins were winning 3-0 in the game. Just continuing to try to add on and further bury the Capitals. And this was still with 3 minutes left in the second period. Pens up 3-0. Evgeny Malkin dives for a loose puck. Dives for the puck. Dives to his knees. Tries to poke it in. Ends up falling completely on his stomach. Trying to poke in a puck. And I don't think we've seen that much effort from Evgeny Malkin in quite some time. The urgency. The willingness to fight for a puck. The battle to just continue to go at the puck and fight and fight and fight. No matter what. And it's not like the Penguins were trailing 3-0 or trailing 2-1 or trailing, regardless of what hypothetical score you want to make it. It was a 3-goal lead. You might call it the most dangerous lead in hockey. But a 3-goal lead, and here comes Evgeny Malkin, diving after loose pucks in the crease, putting his body on the line, where we know he's been, I mean, he's got to be dealing with something, right? Or is it just father time? I don't know. Maybe it's all the above. Maybe he's not banged up. But at this point in time, everybody's pretty banged up once you reach game 70+. They looked like a fresher team. They looked like the team that just flat out wanted to be there, played with a sense of urgency, and knew that everything was on the line. Were they going to go take it? And a lot of times in this matchup against Washington, when it is a hypothetical playoff matchup, the Penguins have done a very good job of going out there and stealing the deal. Not so much in the last 2 years. Again, they still haven't won a playoff series since, check notes, oh yes, 2018 against Washington, when the Caps went on to win the Stanley Cup. The Penguins have not won a playoff series since then. It's not all sunshine and rainbows here. But the fact that they're even alive in this just gives me pause. Because the end of last season and the end of this season, if they make the playoffs or not, completely different stories. Erik Karlsson went from a turnover machine, and yes, he still turns over the puck, to the offensive threat that everybody knew he was going to be, or thought he was going to be. And it's not like he wasn't to an extent earlier in the season, but he's playing on a different level. Same thing with Evgeny Malkin. Michael Bunting is playing really well. Had a breakaway, was not able to capitalize on. Riley Smith looks a little bit more interested. Lars Eller, empty netter, scored his 15th of the year. I mean, they're playing fundamentally sound hockey. They're playing well. And the young guys have been let loose a little bit. How about the first two goals of the game? Were scored by Ryan Shea, his first career goal, and P.O. Joseph, his second goal of the season. From the blue line. And my dad was watching the game with me. He said, oh, that's not the blue line. That's the scoring line. Putting pucks on net. It worked. Just continue to pepper Lindbergh with shots. And why not? A couple of them are going to find the back of the net. Lindgren, rather. Pepper Charlie Lindgren with shots. And good things can happen. Lindbergh's our guy, Andy Lindbergh, here that works the station. So 4-1 the win for the Penguins against Washington. Do you think this team could potentially make the playoffs? 412-928-9370. 76 games down, 81 points in the bank for the Penguins. And something that's really fascinating to me, looking at the wild card standings, and the Penguins are still alive for the final spot of Metro teams. The third spot, as the Rangers and Carolina, obviously, over 100 points, have locked up a playoff spot. Philadelphia, 76 games. Same number as the Penguins, 83 points. Penguins, 81 points. 75 games for Detroit and Washington, both with 82 points. The Islanders, same number of games as the Penguins, 76, 83 points. So right now, the Penguins are two back of the second wild card spot and the final playoff spot in the East. And this doesn't mean too much, but I do think it's worth noting. The Penguins are a +4 goal differential this year. Washington, negative 38. The Islanders, negative 25. Philadelphia is negative 17. Detroit, +2. If there's something that you want to look at, maybe as a fine line, silver lining, well, close games at the end of the year, late games, must win for these playoff teams. Who can you trust? Goal differential can, since it factors in the entire season, maybe be overstated. But the Penguins have won 3 in a row. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10. And Washington has lost 4 in a row. That matters. That's a big factor. And when you look at the Penguins' schedule ahead, they play the Lightning. Huge game. At Toronto on Monday, could Kyle Dubas and the Penguins' season die again for like the fourth time in Toronto? Then the Red Wings, team right above the Pens, the Bruins, the Predators, and the last game of the year. Is it a play-in game on the island against the Islanders on Wednesday, April 17th at 7 o'clock? Is that a win-and-get-in game? Is that a game 162 in game 82? I mean, it virtually could be. At this point in time, it looks like it's going to be. And the Penguins are riding the hot hand. Where? Alex Nedeljkovic has started 7 games in a row. And I know that Tristan Jarry had an illness thrown in there. He was supposed to start a game. But Ned has performed pretty well. It also helps when the offense is backing you up, like it has. During this streak, 4 goals, Carolina. 3 goals, Columbus. 3 goals, Columbus, in the shootout, they take a point. 5 against the Rangers, 6 against the Devils, 4 against the Capitals. Yes, that helps. And they're also playing better defensively in front of Nedeljkovic. There's still room to clean some things up, no doubt about it. But this Penguins team is alive and just about well. If they're not well, they're decent. They're good. They're okay. And they got a shot. Especially because they're playing teams right ahead of them in the standings. Would you like to play Philadelphia? Yes. But you played Washington, and now we're just 1 point back of the Caps, where Washington has done a pretty good job against the Penguins this year. Looking at the remaining schedule for Washington, it's really fluttering at this point. Team that's coming back to earth. They got Ottawa, Detroit, Sabres, Lightning, the Bruins, and oh, mighty Philadelphia, who's fallen from the graces of goodness to the depths of hell. The Flyers are 2-5-3 in their last 10. The bottom has fallen out. They've lost 5 in a row. An overtime loss to the Islanders last night, which it's tough. Who do you root for in that situation? Islanders and Flyers have the same amount of points. The Flyers have the tiebreaker based on total wins, 36. The Islanders, 34, with 15 points taken from going to overtime. Philadelphia's got pretty easy schedule, at least in the next couple games. Buffalo, Blue Jackets, Montreal. Okay. Then Rangers, Devils, Caps. They won't leave that New York, D.C. area, New Jersey area for any of those games. But they lost 5-1 to the Blackhawks. They lost 4-1 to Montreal. They lost in overtime at the Rangers. They lost to the Panthers in this five-game skid. They did beat the Bruins, though. That's funny. But their last win came against Boston. At home, 3-2. The Penguins, they got a shot, man. They really do. And I left them for dead after losing to Edmonton at home, after getting completely obliterated by Washington. Even before that, when they got dominated against the Oilers in Edmonton, it was pretty much, okay, these two teams are on different levels. This is double-A baseball against the major leagues. This is the UFL, the XFL, the USFL against the NFL. It looks like the Penguins didn't even belong in that game. And now, they've beaten a Rangers team that is one of the best in hockey. They've beaten the Devils, who are pretty good. Pretty good New Jersey team. And they've also, at the same time, really had the chance to cement themselves to potentially making a playoff spot with a win against Washington. They beat the Lightning. They got to definitely try to get a point against the Lightning and then beat Toronto. Then you get Red Wings, Bruins, Nashville, Islanders. Some really good teams to close it out. It's an uphill battle. I don't think at this point they make it, but the next two games will be a big determining factor. And then again against Detroit. If they take 5 out of 6 against the Lightning, Maple Leafs, and Red Wings, they're in. They take 4 out of 6, then I think that they probably get in. But if they drop 2 of those games, or they just take 3 points out of the available 6, that's why they play the games. And that's why it's exciting hockey. Everybody's entertained again. Everybody is invested again. With the Penguins now 2 points back. 412-928-9370, taking your calls on the Penguins. Let's get into the Pirates opening day today at PNC Park. The Buccos are 6-1. Let's go. It's the Fanoy Morning Show for the Average Joe, presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. Check out sunchevy.com. Well, it's cold. 42 degrees is the high today. It's currently 40. Low of 35. And there's a potential for some rain. At about 9 o'clock, it's showing 30%. Other than that, it'll be good for the game. Bundle up. Dress like you're going to the Steeler game. That's what I'm doing. It'll be in the low 40s. Not baseball weather, but hopefully the Pirates will get a win. Back after a moment on the Fanoy Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Austin Bechtold with you. It's opening day at PNC Park, a real national holiday here in Pittsburgh. 4-1-2 first pitch, 4-12. You can hear the game right here on 93.7 The Fan. Dan Zangrilli has the North Shore Tavern leadoff show for you beginning at 3 o'clock. Well, one of the voices that you hear all the time during Pirates postgame, Pirates reaction, is the legendary man that I'm just about to talk to. I've heard him for years coming back from games and talking to our good friend Dan Zangrilli. It's the man, the legend, the one and only Chuck in Uniontown. Chuck, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for the intro. I appreciate that. There's a couple things. The Pirates, it's good to be opening day. But Austin, I just want to say this. We won 6 out of 7 on the opening road trip. That's good. But where we've got to deviate and turn it around from last year, we can't come home and start falling all over ourselves. Because remember when we were 20-8 last year?
Oh, how could you forget?
Late April, early May. The next thing you know, we were 20-14. You can't have stuff like that. You know, you get, Austin, I said this way. You take the heart of the season, which I say is from May 1st through August 31st. There's approximately 120 games in there. You've got to, I figure, we've got to go at least 70-50. And that, you know, last year we were horrible in May through August. We can't do that again if we want to contend. And, you know, if you, and this is a good place to start because Baltimore's coming in. They're one of the better clubs in baseball. And if we want to be among the better clubs in baseball, we've got to beat some of the other clubs in baseball. And here's another thing. The great Sparky Anderson, manager of the Reds and the Tigers, used to say, when the weather warms up, the tendency is that the better teams will play better and the losing teams will fall by the wayside. And this, you know, as I said, if we want to change this around from last year, when we still only won 76, if we want to get in playoff or championship contention, we have to start beating these teams that are really good. You need to beat the Miamis and the Washingtons, yes.
Right.
And you need to win in April and September. But it's the heart of the season where you make the difference. You've got to go into St. Louis and win a 3-game series in Busch Stadium in June. You've got to go into the Chavez Ravine and beat the Dodgers out there. That's what you have to do. And one hockey note, as far as the Penguins making the playoffs, I really don't feel good about that last game being on the island. There's other places I'd like to be rather than on the island for the last game, having to win a game up there. But I guess that's the way the schedule falls out. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Enjoy opening day here today. Yeah, he's entirely right with the heart of the season and the fact that the Pirates really, I mean, we all remember 20-8. But think about the fact that the Pirates in April of last year were 19-9. You go to May, they're 8-18 in May. They went 11-15 in June. They were 8-16 in July. That's what entirely tanked the season. They won 76 games. It's because of the hot start, and it's because they were over 500 in September. Yes, just albeit by a game in 27 games, 14-13. And also one game that they played in October, they won. Baltimore comes up next. 3-game series. If you win 2 out of 3 against Baltimore with Jared Jones, Bailey Falter, and Marco Gonzalez on the mound, I feel really good about this Pirates team. And again, it's only April, and there's early results that are coming in. Connor Joe's hitting like 360, and he did similar things last year. Maybe not driving in as many runs compared to last year, but he started off very hot last year as well. If you beat Baltimore, 2 out of 3, who is the favorite, they won over 100 games last year in the American League. That's a team that is probably the favorite to win the World Series this year, I would think. Young team, ton of great young players. It's honestly a model that the Pirates should be looking at in the next couple of years. Honestly, what could be next year? Maybe not win 100 games, but have a similar path as the Orioles. Because only it was only a couple years ago where Baltimore was a 100-loss team flailing around with no chance in the American League. So the Pirates 19-9 last April, followed up by an 8-18 May. The home opener, it's special. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Because after Baltimore's Detroit, at Philadelphia for 4, and then at the reeling Mets before coming back home to PNC Park against the Red Sox and Milwaukee for 4. Where this thing, depending on what happens with the weather, is really going to start to get into some tough games for the Buccos against Philadelphia, team that's been in the World Series the last couple of years. Boston is Boston. And the first division matchup starting Monday, April 22nd against Milwaukee. The pre-show is coming up next. Happy opening day, Pittsburgh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.